And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Can I talk honestly with everybody for just a moment?
Of course.
I've seen all these stories about Seattle City Councilman Rob Johnson, who surprisingly, he had announced in January he's going to step down at the end of his term in November, but now he's shocked everybody by saying he's going to resign in 2 weeks, and nobody can figure out why. I know why. I know exactly why.
Why?
But it's going to take a dose of honesty that some people always can't stand. So Rob Johnson is part of, did you post that on Facebook, by the way, that video?
I'm working on it. I thought they might link it.
Okay.
There's a technicality issue I'm having right now. I'm working on it.
All right. Everybody knows that the Seattle City Council is the most corrupt ever. Even worse than back in the stripper gate days. Because they're destroying the city. We're looking at it. Because they've sold out to developers and contractors and huge money. And Rob Johnson, he's someone who has lied to try to get bike lanes because the bicycle lobby put him in the city council office. And they want to destroy car mobility in Seattle. So Rob Johnson was spearheading this tear up 35th Northeast in Wedgwood. Take out car lanes, take out parking. The businesses have been going berserk. The residents are going nuts. And he says, I didn't know there was any community opposition. And then the lawyers.
I live there. Yeah. I live in that district. Hard to miss community opposition.
Not only that, but then we get emails and text messages between Rob Johnson and staffers where they said, we have polls that say 68% are opposed, months before he said, I didn't know there was any opposition. So he's a proven liar. He's moving to this NHL team because he wants to get a they want to get a taxing district for Queen Anne, like they're doing around the waterfront. And so Rob Johnson, he did an exclusive interview with Chris Daniels at King 5 TV, at king5.com. And he says whoever takes his job has really big shoes to fill.
Land use topics like tree protection ordinance, like the quasi-judicial rezones that we've been having to do with some regularity. So this person will have to shepherd through all those pieces of legislation.
Okay, the rezones. He was the one who, because developers and contractors said right above our radio station on Boylston, we want 80-foot high condos. And the people on Capitol Hill are saying, well, it's going to block our view of downtown Lake Union. And everybody's saying, oh, boo-hoo. And Rob Johnson, you know, got this through at the last minute because developers and contractors were demanding it. And now he just said in that soundbite that the next person who gets his seat is going to be on the land use or the chair of the land use commission. Well, what's happened clearly is the developers and contractors don't want to lose their cash cow. So if Rob Johnson steps aside in 2 weeks, the city council can appoint to that seat one of the candidates that the developers and contractors and the big money are demanding take over that seat, and then they can run as an incumbent in November. And so this is another example of how the Seattle City Council has been completely bought off and paid for by huge money interests. That's why they're selling out the city. That's why we have the situation that we have all around Seattle. And it's a clear move that this council is owned by huge money interests. That's why he's stepping down. That's your dose of truth this hour. Next up in the Fastest 15, Ichiro retired early this morning. The game was started at about 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Seattle time.
Good for insomniacs.
Yeah. I slept the last two nights, so I wasn't able to watch either Mariner game. It's shocking. That would have been my dream come true to have live sports in years past. But it was really cool the way they did it. So Ichiro, and did you know how bad he was this spring training?
How bad he was, as in, like, no hits or no...
He was the worst position player in all of spring training. He was 2 for 31 at the plate. And then he was 0 for 6 in the two games for the Mariners.
Now, but wasn't the whole point of keeping him on the team, too, just what he brings as far as support and...
Yes, the Japanese, the Nintendo ownership... Yeah. And the Mariners know that they're going to have a lousy season.
Yeah.
And so they love the Japanese tourists who are attracted to the stadium because Ichiro's on the team.
And he's 45 years old.
Yeah, which is incredible. And he's had one of the most remarkable careers in baseball history. And, you know, all-time single-season hits, 10 consecutive 200-hit seasons. He had some like 4,300 hits between Japan and the U.S. Just unbelievable career. But the one opponent none of us can beat is time.
Mm-hmm.
And so at age 45, he just couldn't get it done anymore. And so he finished in Japan. They packed that dome there in Tokyo. The crowd went berserk. The Mariners actually won. These were two regular season games.
He got a standing ovation.
Yeah, and the way they did it was very cool. So Ichiro, at the bottom of the eighth inning, and did you hear how he could have made it a real fairy tale ending in the top of the eighth? The game's tied 4-4. Mariners have a runner on second base, two outs. Ichiro's at the plate. If he gets a hit, it's very possibly the game-winning run. He possibly could have ended his career with a game-winning hit. And he grounded out weakly. And so you just can't get it done anymore. So bottom of the eighth inning, all the defensive players usually run out to their positions. Ichiro runs out to right field. None of the teammates goes out. And he stands there for a moment, and then everybody in the crowd realizes what's going on, and then they pull him out of the game, and the place goes berserk. And it was beautiful. And the Mariners had Ken Griffey at the game, and he was hugging Ichiro in the dugout as he came off the field.
Ichiro had tears in his eyes. He was kind of pumping his chest.
It was beautiful. It was just beautiful. And so instead of talking about the 45-year-old Ichiro, this will forever remain my favorite highlight because he not only was one of the greatest singles hitters of all time, phenomenal defensively. He was a little guy who had a cannon for an arm. And when you combined his skills with Dave Niehaus behind the microphone, oh my goodness, you want goosebumps?
Here comes a 3-2 pitch on the way. Swung on and a ground ball punched into right field for a base hit. So heading to third base is Long. The throw to third base, and they've got him nailed at third base on a tremendous throw by Ichiro. I'm here to tell you that Ichiro threw something out of Star Wars down there at third base. He fired a shot about 3 feet off the ground all the way on the fly to David Bell, and Terrence Long was D-O-A.
Oh, my God. That brings tears to my eyes.
I know.
I miss Dave Niehaus so much.
Seriously.
Oh, my God. Just last night, so this live show that I'm doing.
I'm all nervous about.
So Dave Niehaus is one of the stories that I share because I called him when I was a 17-year-old kid. And he invited me to come down to the Kingdome and talk with him. And, I'm getting misty-eyed. But so last night, I listened to this interview that I did with Dave that I'm going to play at the live show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. The over-under on how many times I cried during the live show? That's going to be interesting.
Did you see the latest news from the live show that we have listeners coming in from Iowa?
I have not had a chance to read it yet. But yes, one of the ticket buyers is coming from Iowa.
Yeah, they said they've listened to you since the beginning.
Oh, I bet I know who that is.
Oh, really?
It's a woman?
Yes.
I know who that is. She emails quite a bit. Yeah. Yeah, she used to live here and then moved to Iowa, but still listens and emails. Now it's very cool. So anyway, 3 weeks from tomorrow night, sold out.
If you don't have a ticket. So we can't even promote it.
Sorry about that.
Okay, just back to the Ichiro thing, just real quick, though. You know, he said he couldn't have picked a more perfect ending for him. And I know that was really important to him, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, he started his career in Japan. He ended it in Japan.
But with the Mariners, and he said that was really important. Yeah. He was honored to end his big league career where it started with Seattle.
Yeah, because after he came to Seattle, after playing in Japan for many years, then he went to the Yankees for a couple of years, he went to Florida. But none of that was, I mean, this was his American home. So anyway, what a career, and good job to Ichiro and to the Mariners. That was a great send-off for him in the wee hours of this morning. Next up in the Fastest 15... You guys ever go to movies with your parents?
Yeah, not much, but a few
times. Once in a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I remember twice going with my mom to movies. Once, it was one of the few times when my dad was around, and the three of us went to the Northgate Theater to see True Grit, the John Wayne movie.
Wow.
I had no interest at all in it. I don't remember a thing. And then one time I went with my mom to the Bay Theater in Ballard because they were playing Gone with the Wind. And all I remember is that was probably the longest 4 hours of my life.
Wow. Did they have children's movies back then?
Oh, my goodness.
No children's movies. Huh?
That's not what I ever saw with mom. And I bring all this up because John Hickenlooper, he's the former Colorado governor. Mm-hmm.
Well, if those are the movies you're seeing with your mom, this might not be as weird.
No, it's weird.
Gone with the Wind?
Gone with the Wind and True Grit were
those are not
fine.
I know what you're...
Yeah.
So that's John, nothing compared to this.
John Hickenlooper, who's running for... He wants to be your next Democratic presidential nominee. Here's the kind of movie he saw with his mom when he was a young man.
Until I got home at Thanksgiving, I promised I called a friend in Philadelphia, and these were I didn't know what an X movie was. We thought it was a little naughty, but we didn't think it was that bad. Again, you got to understand, I was 18 years old, and so I came home, and my mother hated to cook. I mean, she was just a strong, powerful woman who got stuff done in her own right. And I got home, and she had this huge dinner laid out, and I said, I promised Jed that we would go to the movie theater and see this new movie. You want to come? And it's an X movie. I don't know. I was sure that she wouldn't say no. I made a mistake. And she said, I'd love to go, because she didn't want to be left alone in the house again.
It was a pretty famous movie, too.
So I took my mother to see Deep Throat. And to her credit, the first scene is... I didn't ask the question. But I will tell you that my mother was, I'm sure she was mortified. And I said repeatedly, I think we should leave. I think we should go. And my mother was the kind of person that rarely went to a movie. She thought almost every movie would get on TV. Obviously not this one. But she really, once she paid, she was going to stay. And at the end, she knew that I was humiliated. And as we drove home, and you know how the dashboard in the old cars had that kind of green light? And I asked her, I said, well, that was some experience. And she says, well, I thought the lighting was very good in the movie.
Why would anyone share that story?
I don't know. Well, he was trying to be relatable.
Well, he had written it in a book previously. And she brought it back.
Why would you include that in a book?
I don't know.
If I went and saw a porno movie with my mom, I think I would withhold that info from the world.
The important part to him is that he didn't know it was a porn movie.
He said X movie.
He knew.
X-rated.
Well, he said he didn't realize what X meant.
Oh, that's a bunch of baloney.
At 18, I have to believe
he would not know what he was going to when he invited his mom to go.
The title was Deep Throat. Oh, I thought it was a food movie. I mean, come on. I mean, if he's that dumb, he shouldn't be our next president.
Spy movie.
So, okay, next up in the Fastest 15. Yeah, that was even before Watergate. That's where Watergate's Deep Throat came from. Came from Linda Lovelace, for crying out loud. Okay, we have another Nancy Kerrigan, Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding type figure skating story. an American figure skater, 22 years old, Mariah Bell. She allegedly kicked 16-year-old Lim Eun-soo, a Korean skater. She slashed her in the calf during on-ice warm-ups at the World Figure Skating Championships in Japan. And the word is that these two have been training together, and they have the same instructor, coach, that they've been working with in Los Angeles, and that the American hates the Korean girl. And so they're on the ice warming up, and according to the Korean girl, she came over, obviously slashed her with her skate blade in the calf, and didn't say, I'm sorry, didn't say anything, and then just continued her warm-ups. And now the Korean Skating Federation says they want an apology. And
Has the American skater said her idol is Tonya Harding?
Right. It's.
I mean, this kind of been there, done that. It's already been done.
If you're going to...
Please, it's too obvious.
Well, and her defenders are saying, look, she wouldn't slash her in front of hundreds of spectators during warm-ups. If you slash somebody with your skate, don't you at least stop and say, oh, I'm sorry, are you okay? You're not going to just keep warming up. So I think this sounds legit. I think we have another little psycho Tonya Harding.
So competitive.
On our hands, yeah. That's a nasty world, that figure skating. Okay. I should know. I was skater of the month months at the Ballard Ice Arena.
Dory doing his twirls.
I didn't twirl.
You did.
That was essentially a speed skating competition.
Oh, gotcha.
To be skater of the month. Okay, do I have time for any more? No, that's probably all we got time for. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
But you know, I do have a lot of other stories that I haven't gotten to yet. So I'm just going to take it into a second 15. Coming up right after the news here on the Dory Monson Show. I used to be really, really good at something, and now I'm horrible at it.
What's that?
Well, before I tell you that, so were you able to post that video, Nicole?
Yes.
Okay. So you've got it on our Facebook page. So it's some activists who have put together what I thought was a very, very good video. About the Seattle City Council, people throwing $100 bills. By the way, where do you get $100 bills that look that realistic?
Maybe they're real.
No, they're not. You throw $100 bills on the steps of City Hall where they filmed this. Anyway, we put it up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dory Monson, DoriMonson.
Okay, while you're on that Facebook page, sorry, just please, please look for the... video of Dory dancing.
Don't.
I'm just saying because anytime I'm starting to feel down, I go look at that and it just gives me a big fat smile.
I haven't seen
it. It's the best.
I will not look at this.
Okay, but anyway, so you can see the video. So you got a twofer there now. Dory dancing and the
video. Who posted
video.
This?
Me.
It's a great
Proudly.
Video, Dory.
It is.
I remember seeing it live in studio and boy, oh boy.
It was last Friday when...
There's such a good
Lots
mood.
Of elbows flying around.
Yep. Dead Mouse was playing. Dory lost his mind.
It was so good.
Why would you put my most embarrassing moment on Facebook?
That's not your most embarrassing moment.
Remember the putting the Coke over your body?
Oh, wow.
That was hot. That was the best.
No, but what I love is that some of our listeners have posted pictures of their children smiling at your dancing. I mean, it's kind of taken off there.
Smiling or laughing, but...
A regular Pied Piper over here.
I will not watch it. I refuse.
I don't care if you watch it, though, but I want our listeners to watch it.
And the photo of me pouring the Diet Coke over my nude body... Guaranteed once a year, Dave Wyman sends that to all of our Seahawks co-hosts, you know, to Moyer and Jordan Babineau and Ray Roberts and Michael Bumpus. And Wyman will always put on a caption like, our fearless leader, it's me pouring Diet Coke over my naked body.
Can you explain again why? Just why? That was what, like 5-6 years ago?
Yeah. There was a story in the news that... a, I think, Swedish or German model, some supermodel.
Yep.
She was pouring vodka over her naked body, and they then harvested and bottled that vodka, and they were selling it for a premium price because it had flowed over a supermodel's naked body, which to me is not an added selling point. But they were selling it for something like $160 a bottle. So I stripped down here in the studio.
Wow.
And poured Diet Coke over my body, and we harvested that.
How many bottles of Coke?
Just one can.
Okay.
And we offered to... And
it didn't go quite as well as our deep-fried turkeys do.
No, we offered to sell that for charity, and we got no bidders. And we were able to harvest at least... Remember those old Wesson commercials where they would cook the chicken, they'd pour it back in the bottle and show, we only used one teaspoon. We lost about two-thirds of the can of Diet Coke. But you would have gotten a third that had flowed over my naked body. And I can't believe that didn't attract. And then when they do that big Seattle Weekly feature on me, that was like one of the centerpieces of the story, was that I did that. I did the Diet Coke thing.
Can we make that a yearly thing?
No.
You know what? It is.
No, it's a once a career thing.
Right. It is Thursday, which is sometimes referred to as Throwback Thursday. So I'll post that article with that picture.
No, you don't have to.
Nice.
You don't
I'll make sure
post
she does
the
it.
Dancing one.
Facebook.com/ Dory Monson Show.
Nicole's on a roll. There's all sorts of treasures on that Facebook page.
Is it Dory Monson Show or Dory Monson that all these are posted on?
Dory Monson.
If you type in on Facebook, Dory Monson Show, it pops up.
Oh, yeah, slash Dory Monson.
Okay, yeah. Just my name. Okay. So here's what I used to be really good at that I'm lousy at now. I used to be one of the most responsive people. If you reached me by email or text, I would respond usually within minutes. And for some reason, I have no idea why. And you
have become horrible.
That dancing video is a perfect example, because a few days ago, you sent me a text.
I did.
And, you know, that you thought that it was very amusing, this little video that Nicole, you know, pathetically posted. And I saw your text, I think, 2 days later, and I had, you know, 10 texts from Wyman and Paul Moyer, and I had 32 texts. And when the number gets so big...
But why don't you just respond to it when it happens?
I don't know. I used to really want to be the most responsive person, and you text me, I get right back to you within seconds. And
I know, you used to do that, but not anymore.
You know what, that's because I know, because you're always trying to think of a witty response to people. So sometimes your wittiness doesn't come immediately. And then you forget about it.
I mean, I've got 18 texts right now. My daughters, or
although there are some you can just ignore.
Well, I know, but I used to
like
pride
your daughters,
myself.
Not your daughters ever.
Yeah. No, I used to pride my and my daughters. I used to have a policy, even if I'm in a meeting, because they never call me. If they call me, I'll probably take the call. Mm-hmm. I just prioritize them, but I've become horrible at all of this stuff. And I don't know why.
Well, I think to some degree also, it does become overwhelming.
It
I mean,
does.
After a while, it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't.
I'll get 8 during the show, and I can't respond while I'm on the air. And then I see that I have 8, and I think, oh, I can't deal with this right now. Mm-hmm. And then the number grows to 15, and then it's too big.
And that's like email, too. I mean, email is just
wow,
giant.
You're so popular, you don't have time to answer your text. I feel bad
no,
for you.
It's not popularity. It's apathy. I've grown apathetic about something I used to take great pride in. The email thing, that's like the bane of my existence, because every morning, the very first thing I do, 6:30 every morning, is I log on to start doing show prep, and we'll have overnight probably 100 to 200 emails. And I got to go through those, and I'm deleting many of them, but I dread that's the way I have to start every single day.
I know.
And it's just it's all become overwhelming. So I don't know. I used to say, don't send me letters. Now just send me letters. Know that I'll ignore them, but just send me letters in the postal mail. And, okay, what was I going to... Oh, shoot, look, I just yapped my way through an entire segment there. Did you hear the latest in the college admissions scandal?
No.
The story that everybody, including us, have been so obsessed with. So, okay, I'll tell you the latest on that because this is pretty amazing. A girl who's at USC describes what a slime ball this singer guy, who is the mastermind of all of this, is as he tried to promise her mom that he could get her daughter into Stanford.
As if we needed more proof, though.
Exactly. But you're hearing it from a college student now who dealt with this guy. So we'll do that and lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.
Yeah, I just figured I'd play some Nilsson. I just discovered this particular song last week.
Nilsson Schmielsen.
That's exactly right. Jump into the Fire. Such a great song.
This was... What movie used this so effectively? Was it Reservoir Dogs?
No, that was Steeler's Wheel.
It was Goodfellas.
It was Goodfellas?
Goodfellas used this.
I forget which part of the film.
It's the one where Ray Liotta... The helicopter's flying over, and he's getting super paranoid.
Okay.
In his cocaine delusions.
Yes.
Oh, what a movie. It's my all-time favorite movie, and the music is such a huge part of it.
Am I a clown? Am I amusing to you?
That's right. We just quoted that a couple days ago.
Okay.
In the news, so the college admissions scandal. This has been so fascinating. For, you know, people my age whose kids have already gone through the whole college process, there are a lot of you a few years younger than me, and maybe you're in the middle of that right now. You know, if you have a high school, especially if you have a junior, junior year, if you have kind of high-achieving kids, junior year is the year from hell. Because they're taking all those AP classes, and it's a big workload, and if they're trying to balance other activities, and you are starting, as a parent, you're starting to feel the pressure of college admissions. The kids are starting to feel it. It's just, forget about this terrible twos, terrible threes. Infants are lovely creatures. But the fact that any of us, parents and kids, have been able to survive kids' junior year of high school, that's a miracle in and of itself. So anyway, I think that's why this college admissions scandal has been so fascinating, because there's, you know, people like Laura Loughlin. Laura? Laura Loughlin?
Lori.
Lori. I knew that didn't sound right. Lori Loughlin from Full House. The fact that her, you know, dopey sounding daughter got into USC because they paid $500,000 to get her in. And now we're hearing that the other actress, Allison Janney, is the other actress.
What?
It's not Allison Janney.
No.
Who is it?
It's what's her name?
She looks a little like Allison Janney.
No, she doesn't. Felicity Huffman.
Right. She looks like Allison Janney.
No, she doesn't.
Sure. They're thin and blonde, both of them.
I don't know about that.
Anyway, and Felicity Huffman and William H. Macy, her husband, they're said to be going through horrible times, and their marriage that has been, you know, one of those Hollywood marriages that's lasted a long, long time. And everybody said they're the rare success story. And now they are reportedly horribly frayed because either Felicity Huffman or Allison Janney paid to get their kid. So now we're hearing from a girl who's at USC. But Rick Singer, the sleaze at the center of all of this, Rick Singer went to this girl's mom and said, "You want to get your daughter into Stanford? I can make that happen." Now, the girl, she was talked to anonymously. She's in silhouette, so we don't know her name, but she's a USC current student.
Knowing everything I know now, I just think, thank God because that could have been me.
And she says that this Rick Singer guy called her mom and made all kinds of wild promises.
He asked her what my grades were. He asked her what my ACT score was. She told him, and he said, oh, those aren't getting her into Ivy Leagues. He goes, oh, well, you know, is she athletically involved in any way? Is she a star athlete? And my mom says, this girl can't play anything. She's terrible at athletics. And he kind of just said, oh, it won't be a problem. She didn't think it was anything weird. She just thought, wow, this guy must be so good at his job that it doesn't matter that my daughter can't shoot a basketball.
So he allegedly told this girl and her mom, we'll get her an exception for admissions to Stanford based on a basketball exception. This girl has never played basketball in her life. But the mom was thinking about Stanford and get my daughter into Stanford. And, you know, for so many, you know, as I read that great tweet a few days ago. For kids, college is about that life experience. For parents, it's about prestige with their friends. And this girl says she understands why her mom and all these other parents almost fell for it.
I look back now, and I think of him as just this slimy salesman who probably pitched the same thing to every naive parent and kid. It just kind of goes to show how easily people can be swindled into things and how our culture values getting into prestigious universities so highly that people are willing to do things like this.
Yeah, and, you know, now reportedly Lori Loughlin's kids can't stand her. I had that story yesterday that she lost all her influencer.
They're mad at her.
Can't know. When you're 19, if you're mad at your parents, you can't stand them. Now, that might be temporary. But
I hope so. I just want what's best.
I just want everybody to get along. I'm a uniter, not a divider. And the Big Lead at 2 is next.